Acts chapter 11, look at verse 19. We've been talking about, when I've been with you, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. How come talking about how the Holy Spirit works in the church, how the Holy Spirit works among believers and in and through you. Amen? You had your first sermon earlier, which is how God wants you to rejoice in trouble. Why? Because He loves you. I'll start out with this again, is that God loves you. How many know the church in the beginning was in trouble? Huh? You ever read that book? That's a lot of trouble in that book of Acts. There's some hairy situations. How many know the church today is in trouble? Huh? They'll say the church today is in trouble. Same kind of trouble. You know, we think, well, we got nice buildings, nice bathrooms, and, you know, nice lawns, and we're in pretty good shape. No, that's not true. You may have nice churches, nice lawns, and nice bathrooms, but the church, the gospel of the Lord Jesus, is always under attack. The only time when it's not under attack is when it's sweet and nice and behaves itself in a church. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is always in trouble because it is an offense. Jesus, not offense, it's an offense. The gospel is an offense to man. Amen? Because the gospel isn't about treat your fellow man right. The gospel is about destroying the works of the enemy, which is your flesh. You know, for your flesh is not excited about getting stopped. Your flesh is not excited about death. You know, typically when somebody's trying to kill you, you try to defend yourself. Amen? Huh? Yes, amen. Praise the Lord. Your flesh is always defending itself. Well, I didn't do that. Or, well, it's not quite as bad as you say. Anybody ever said that? You know, somebody accused you of something. Well, it's not as bad as you think. Well, they were watching. You know, they saw it. They watched it while it was happening. Amen? Typically, they're the victim of your abuse and of your anger and of your rebellion. Amen? Oh, aren't you glad you came today? Praise the Lord. Pastor, just preach about the book of Acts. I'm going to get a little too testy. It's powerful because the Holy Spirit wants to come in and destroy and to get rid of all of your flesh and cause you to walk worthy and holy before the Lord. You're not going to be perfected in this flesh, but the Holy Spirit begins to transform and change you, and the fruit that is born is fruit that is seen and received by those who are around you. They are changed by what they see, not you do, but the Holy Ghost do in you. The Holy Ghost does all the work. The Holy Spirit does all the change. You do none of the change. Everybody say, I do none of the change. Zip. You don't do any of the change. You don't. It's the Holy Ghost. If you did the change, well, it didn't get done. If you did the change, God counts that for nothing. Amen? He's not interested in you changing. He's interested in you submitting to His lordship and leadership and His mercy and His grace and His power. Amen? The issue is not you changing. The issue is submission to the Holy Spirit. Submission to His power, because He is God. You are not God. Now, okay, now we're all good on that, right? Amen. All right, now, look at Acts chapter 19. And I'm going to give you a little bit of history in there. Because when we come to Acts 13, you're going to wonder where this place is. Now, Acts chapter 19 says, now, this is after they had Peter had shared with the elders in Jerusalem the fact that the Gentiles had been baptized in the Holy Ghost, which we talked about the last time. And so they're in the city of Jerusalem, and he was sharing with the eldership and the leadership of the church. The church had agreed that yes, the church, the God had sent the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles directly and specifically. You remember the story how when Peter was on the rooftop in Joppa and he was told to go with these men who came without asking any questions. That's very interesting how the Holy Ghost said, go with these men, doubting nothing. He says, go with them, don't ask any questions. Okay. So he's used to hearing the Holy Ghost, so he goes. And all of a sudden, and he doesn't know where he's going, because if God had told him where he was going, he'd say, no, I ain't going there. Because he had a religious background. that was going to prevent him from going there. He had a religious background that was going to prevent him from going there. I'll say that again. He had a religious, you know, it's so funny when you say things and all of a sudden it just, the Holy Ghost said, say it again. He had a religious background that kept him from going there. You know, God wants to deliver you from your religious background that keeps you from going there. So he went, and then he began to preach, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost fell on those people just like it fell on Jewish people. What? Apparently God didn't know who these people were. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have given the Holy Ghost to those people if he'd known who they were. Well, no, I think God knew what he was doing, so he just told Peter, do what I tell you. Hallelujah. So now they had done that, and then they had taken that message to the leadership of the church in Jerusalem. And after that evidence, they had agreed. And here we are at that point. Verse 19, now when they were which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, and they traveled as far as Phoenice and Cyprus and Antioch, and preaching the word to none but to the Jews only. I'm sorry, chapter 11, verse 19. So now, after this point, they go about preaching, and this had to do with the persecution of Stephen, is that the persecution of Stephen stirred up a lot of persecution. That guy, I mean, he's in his preaching, he stirred up a lot. You remember he was, I'm not going to go back and read it, you can do it, but I mean, Stephen's preaching was scathing to the religious mind. Amen? Because they had it all worked out. But Stephen's preaching broke it all up. Messed up your front garden, you know, your nice front garden. You know, you have it out there in front so everybody can see it. It's all pretty. And then Stephen comes along. He messed that thing up real bad. And so it says here that they went to, and one of the cities they went to was Antioch. Now, Antioch was a city that was in Syria, a few miles from the coast, that became a cosmopolitan center in the province just up there west of Galatia, just up there in Asia, just up the road north of Israel and Jerusalem. So that was one of the main cities that you would go through. And I mean, it had everything. It was like, it was not like Fort Worth, I think it was like Dallas. You know, it had everything. It had every sin in there. It was awesome. You know, in Fort Worth, you just have to go to Dallas to sin. Amen? But it's so close by. Very handy. If you have a toll tag, it's even better. You can just get over there real quickly. And then get back quickly. Nobody will ever know you were gone. But they were going up to Antioch. And so they went through Antioch. And of course, that was a prime place, as most of the cities were in those days, to preach the gospel. I mean, they had all kinds of corruption and lasciviousness there. Just a great place to found a church. Amen? It's awesome. So here they are going through Antioch. So that's where Antioch is. And they're traveling through there. And just to introduce that, and then I want to see how much time I'm going to spend on this. And some of the men were, verse 20, of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke to the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which is in Jerusalem. And they sent Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad, and exhorted them all with the purpose of heart that they would cling to the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. It was good to be full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If you're going to go to a place like that, you're going to be full of the Holy Ghost. That is, you're spending time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Some folks who have a great vision to go do a great work for God, but they're weak in faith. You know, somebody who's young and excited in the Lord. You don't just send them off to the pit, to the armpit of the, you know, of the world to minister. They're going to have a problem. Amen? You want somebody who is full of the Holy Ghost, full of faith, proven. Amen? You know, somebody's going to ask, well, should I go here and go there? You know, I mean, an on-fire young person believer, say. No. don't send them. Let them do something here. Don't send them immediately. They're not mature. They're not strong. Verse 25, then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek for Saul. Now earlier on, Paul had been laid off there in Tarsus to grow, because number one, he was being persecuted when he took him down to Jerusalem because they didn't believe it. They didn't believe that he was a believer. Of course, he had been around. His main testimony was that he had destroyed the church, and so they left him in Tarsus, and he had been, which is his hometown. And then departed here Barnabas to seek for Saul in Tarsus. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth or a great famine throughout all the world, which did come to pass. There's a prophet named Agabus. He said there's going to be a great famine in the earth. And what he said came to pass. The guy must have been a prophet. Why? What he said came to pass. How do you tell a prophet? What he says comes to pass. So how would you judge a prophet? What he says. See, it's amazing how we think of these things, and we just don't think very far. There's a lot of people say they're a prophet, and you believe them. And they just, a lot of folks just looking for a good word somewhere. You can get a lot of good word. But does it come to pass? So it came to pass in the days of Claudius. And then the disciples, verse 29, every man according to his ability determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, and which also they did, and sent it by Barnabas and Saul. So see, Barnabas and Saul were in Antioch, and they sent the relief to Jerusalem through Barnabas and Saul. So Paul at that time was one of the members and the beginning to be in the leadership in the church at Antioch. So, you wonder, what happened between Damascus and, all that? Is that Paul actually became part of the church leadership, not in Jerusalem, but in Antioch. And again, Antioch is, like if you've got Israel right here, it's up that coast. All right? That's where Antioch is. Now, let's go over here. And again, what I'm talking about specifically is about these episodes in which the Holy Ghost does work. Amen? Now, the next thing I want to bring to you is that we have Peter in chapter 12 here. Herod, king of Jerusalem. Not the legitimate king, but the king that was under the Roman prelate, under the Roman rulership, that they picked out a guy. Well, you're kind of a Jew, so we're going to pick you up. Actually, he was an Edomite, which came out of the tribe of Esau. And so King Herod was on the throne at that time, and he was actually holding a kingship under the Roman umbrella. They just put, you're one of the local guys, so we'll stand you up, prop you up, make you look good, and put gold all over you and call you king. And you keep tabs on your people. So that's what Herod's doing. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now this is not the guy that wrote the book of James. This is, remember, James and John, the sons of thunder, sons of Zebedee. Well, this is James and John. And John was the disciple whom Jesus loved, wrote the book of the Gospel of John, the three little Johns. And so James, the brother of John, Herod killed him with the sword. So he was killed early on. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. So the Passover was coming up. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the four quaternions of soldiers. That's a lot of soldiers. Intending after Easter. Easter's really not, is not the word Easter. We'd go there another day. But the King James Bible put in the word Easter. Just make a note of that. After the Passover. To bring him forth to the people. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without that outside in the, amongst the disciples, ceasing without ceasing of the church of God to pray for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, so he was going to bring him out and get rid of him. So Peter was in jail, fixing to get his head chopped off. And that same night, what happened? When Herod would have brought him forth that same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with chains, and the door and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side. The guy was sleeping. What? You put in the jail, you're fixing to get your head chopped off next morning because you knew they were excited about James getting his, and so you're sleeping. That's powerful. Amen? That's powerful. See, the angel of the Lord, who sent him? Who sent the angel? That's right. Who works in the earth today? The Holy Ghost. You need an angel? Call upon the Lord. Holy Ghost, he's got tons of them. He sends them out as needed. This is the Holy Ghost. He sent an angel. He sent the angel of the Lord, and a light shined on him in the prison. He smote Peter on the side, raised him up, said, "Get up!" And his chains fell off. And the angel said to him, "Get yourself, gird yourself, put your clothes on." The guy had gotten comfortable. Put your clothes on. Put your shoes on your feet. Don't want you to get your feet hurt. Put your shoes on. I think it's funny. Put your shoes on your feet. Put your shoes on. That's hilarious. It's great. You know, the angel's making sure that he's not going to stub his toe. Put your shoes on. Gird yourself up. Bind on your sandals. And he did. And he says to him, "Cast your garment about you and follow me." And he went out and followed him. And he knew not that it was true what was done by the angel. But he thought it was a vision. And when they were past the first and the second ward, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. Just like the grocery store. But they didn't have that back then. So it opened up by itself. We were at this hotel thing up in Arkansas. Is that where I was? And we were in Arkansas. And, you know, it didn't have like these glass doors that slide like this. It had these big, giant wooden doors. And I was fixing to walk in. You know how you do when you see a big wooden door, Gary? You go and you're going to put your on it to open it up or, you know, pull it, whatever. Yeah, I think one of them big things with the big handles on it. And I walked up to that thing about right between here and there. And I was fixing to put my hand on it. And all of a sudden this thing went. I mean, it big doors. Big wooden doors. I said, "Wow, this is just like the Bible." You know, I mean, what is it to make a little, you know, like the Jetsons or something? Man, that's no big deal. Star Trek, you know, where the doors. But I mean, we're talking big, giant wooden doors, and they just open right up. This is what happened right here. Is this iron gate opened up of its own accord. I don't know if you get this. This is good stuff. This is powerful because this is what God does. He, you know, well, we can do that now. Yeah, there's some things you can't do. There's some things you can't do. And you can't get your engineer friends to do. There's some things that God is only going to do. Amen? How many of you got trouble? In the world you have, how many of you got trouble? Oh, that's, all right, that's a whole nother one. It's a whole nother message. Yeah. He's like, "I'm a stupid. I'm with trouble." In the world you have trouble. But Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world that you're in that has trouble. He says, rejoice when you fall into different kinds of trials, knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. And over in Romans, it tells you that faith, patience works experience. That experience works, produces hope, expectation. That the next thing you go through, God's got that handled as well. Amen? Romans 5 also says, not only that, you know, we rejoice in the hope of our salvation, but not only that, we rejoice in tribulations. We do? Oh yeah, we do. It says it right there. We rejoice in tribulations, knowing that tribulations work, because we know. Say it, we know. Say it's powerful when you know. We know that tribulations work patience. All right, so back here. So the angel says, so he thought it was a vision. They went past the first and second ward. The gates opened to them, and he passed on. And they went out, and he passed on through one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. This is now verse 11, chapter 12, verse 11. And when Peter came to himself, he said, I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel. The Lord has sent his angel. The angel didn't come on his own. The Lord sent it. And has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the people of the Jews. Okay, then it goes on to say how he knocked on the door and nobody, and the little girl didn't answer the door because she couldn't believe it was Peter. She just went upstairs, and the guy was out there still trying to get in. The Bible's full of great stuff. All right, chapter 13, let's look at it. Go up one verse to chapter 12, verse 25. You remember that Barnabas and Saul were sent. It's kind of like the end of the, you know, what happened previously on the book of Acts. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. Remember, they went to Jerusalem to deliver the money, the relief. And when they had fulfilled their ministry, and they took with them John, whose surname was Mark. John Mark, not John the gospel guy. There's a different John. This is Mark, the other gospel guy. Chapter 13. Now you remember Antioch. Antioch is a cosmopolitan center where the church is growing, where the church is having an impact and growing up and becoming a powerful church in a cosmopolitan or in a worldly society. All right? Now there were in the church that was at Antioch, and you remember that's where Paul is now being matured and grown up and beginning to step into his calling in the Lord. Now, chapter 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch. Everybody know where that is now? Okay. Good. Church at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, whom we know, Simeon, that was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, which he had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, brought up with Herod. The guy had been brought up with the guy. And Saul, certain prophets and teachers. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, just spending time in the presence of God, spending time, giving time, setting aside time to minister to the Lord. Ministered to the Lord and fasted. Fasted? Oh, it's hard to do. We got restaurants on every corner. Ministered to the Lord and fasted. Said no to body. Said no, we're just gonna minister to the Lord. We're not gonna take time out for lunch. We're not gonna take time out for, you know, we're gonna just stop everything and minister to the Lord. Minister to the Lord and fasted. That is to worship God, to wait upon Him, to study through the Scriptures, to seek His face. For the purpose of what? I want a new car. I want a better job. We want a new church building. We want A, B, or C. No. They ministered to the Lord and fasted so that they might know Him. So that they may be more fully trained in the Holy Ghost. Ministered to the Lord and fasted is what is done by a believer to grow. Do you go to church and get together with the saints? Yes. Yet you may get together with a group of saints for the purpose of growing in the Lord, separating yourself from the world for a period of time, so that you might grow, that you might separate yourself from this world so that the Lord may separate yourself from this world. You separating yourself from this world in a measure, He separates you as He wills and by His power and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not only do outward manifestations of works. That's not His main job. That's a great job. It's not the main job. The main job is for you to be transformed and for you to be grown up. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. You remember in John chapters 13 through 17, is Jesus spent that night at the Passover when He was going to be killed. He spent that entire evening describing to them what was going to change in the ministry. What was going to change? It wasn't going to be just 12 guys following Jesus around and yippee when it happens and He sends them out every once in a while, but Jesus is going to be the top gun and He's going to be having a kingdom. No! He said, I'm going to go away. And where I'm going, you cannot go. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. The what? I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And He is going to come and dwell in you. And He will, those things that I wanted to share with you, He is going to open your eyes. And you will see them as you've never seen them before. This is the job of the Holy Spirit. Not to knock you down at the front of the church. Not to make you speak in tongues. We love speaking in tongues. Do it all the time. Amen. That's not the main job. The main job is to transform you and to come and dwell in you and to be the Lord Jesus Christ through your hands and feet and arms and legs, and you are the kingdom of God dwelling here on the earth. Amen? He didn't just leave you here to kind of plant a few seeds and be a good folk. You know, be a holy people. Get holy. No, He's going to do it Himself. And He's going to do it and He's going to transform the whole world. Amen, He did. It's not done yet. It's powerful. Say, one out of, how many? One out of, you know, when He started out, there's about 12 guys, maybe 120 guys in the guys and girls up in the upper room in the whole world. Now, I mean, just by name, just by profession, not by life, but by profession, one in five, one in three, one in four people in the whole world. Talking about billions claim the name of Christ. That's a big job. Now, you know, whether that's an accurate representation of the power of God and the Holy Spirit, because most of that is cultural. Most of that is Christianity by culture. Well, grandma was a Christian, so am I. Yeah, Norway was Christian, so I'm a Norwegian, Halvorsen. So now I must be a Lutheran, you know? I mean, you're born into the church. It doesn't work that way. How many of you are born? This illustration will fall apart for twins. How many of you were born at one at a time? Even twins are born, how many? One at a time. How many know in the Holy Spirit, in the Spirit of God, you're born when? One at a time. Amen? Individually, personally. You know, nobody was born for Gary. His mommy will testify of that. Amen. Your mama will testify of that. She has her own memory of your birth. Did I ever tell you how hard your birth was, Paul? So you were born one at a time. The Holy Spirit is transforming and changing you. So I say, ministered to the Lord and fasted. I better quit soon. The Holy Ghost said. Everybody say, the Holy Ghost said. Oh, man, y'all are getting good at that. The Holy Ghost said. How many know the Holy Ghost says? He does. Holly? The Holy Ghost said. Norma? The Holy Ghost said. I'll get Janet, too. Janet, the Holy Ghost said. He says. He speaks, Greg. Next week I'll get to you people. The Holy Ghost said, James. The Holy Ghost said. And the reason I say that is so that you'll know the Holy Ghost says things. Amen? He's not just like a puff of air. Even though he's like a puff of air. Spirit, pneuma, pneuma. Like, you know, like a pneumatic drill. The Holy Ghost. You don't know where he comes from. You don't know where he goes. This is the Spirit. But what he does do is perform mighty acts in you. So as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, well, wait a minute, I thought they were already fasting and praying. Well, once the Holy Ghost says, then you fast and pray again. The Holy Ghost said, okay. I'll make sure you heard God. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. So they, Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. I want you to have an understanding that the Holy Ghost is how we live our life. We live our life by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And God has set up a communication system, which is that the Holy Ghost has come to dwell on the inside of you. That's what His desire is. When Jesus rose again, He came to His disciples and stood in the midst of them, and the doors being locked, He came in and He said, "Peace be unto you." And He breathed on them and He said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." Now, He stayed around for another 40 days, but He said at the end of those 40 days when He was being taken up, "Don't go anywhere. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive the promise of the Father. Stay in Jerusalem until you receive, you be endued with power from on high." And then 10 days later, they were in the upper room fasting and praying. And the Holy Spirit came in. Like a rushing mighty wind, like a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting. And He came and sat upon each of them as with the appearance of little flames of fire. And they began to speak in other tongues. They began to speak. And the Holy Spirit gave the utterance. That is, He gave the words that they were speaking. And then as they went out and flooded out into the street, they were in the city at that time, men from Jews from all over the world in every country. And of course they had in their own languages. And they heard them speak. Every man, singular, heard them speak. Plurally, that group who were filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking with other tongues, every man heard them speak in his own language the wonderful works of God. And they testified to one another. Don't we hear every man speak, every one of us hear them speak, each one of us in our own tongue? Not the cosmopolitan language, not of Greek, but our own little child language where we were born, in our little village, in our little home. The language I remembered when I was a little child. Speaking to us the wonderful works of God. I believe this is that the Holy Spirit, the speaking in other tongues, was other tongues, unknown. As in the book of 1 Corinthians, He said, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of..." Well, what is that? "Speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. I'm nothing." So apparently there is a speaking in the tongues of an angel. And in that particular instance, in the book of Acts chapter 2, that every man heard them speak in his own language. The miracle was not of the speaking, but of the hearing. That they were truly speaking in other tongues, in unknown tongues. In that particular case. Now, God told them to wait until they'd be endued with power from on high. From that time, the church began to move in mighty power. When Jesus came and breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," I believe that moment the disciples were born again. But I believe specifically that there is an endowment with power called the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is subsequent and additional to the born again experience. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We receive Christ by faith as a fountain springing up into everlasting life. But he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. The power of the Holy Spirit. So today, if anyone wants to be born again, to have the Spirit of the living God, the God who sent Jesus to the cross and he raised him from the dead, so that your sins can be wiped away and washed away. And receive the Holy Ghost for the work of salvation in your heart. Or if you would like to have, you've already been born again, but you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for power, for demonstration of miracle and power, but also for transformation of your life. The transformation that your life is totally changed by His power. I'd like to invite you to receive either of those today as we close. So I'm going to ask the men to come, and if you'd like for any of that, I don't want you to come and avail yourself of the prayer of the saints. Amen? Let's all stand together. Father, we love you. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Father, I love you. I praise you and glorify your name. Let's all give him thanks together. Father, I love you with all of my heart. Say it to where your own ears can hear your mouth. Don't just hear the person next to you. Let's hear your own mouth. Father, I love you with all of my heart. I love you with all of my strength. I thank you the Holy Ghost is my salvation. And Father, we rejoice and give you praise for all of these things. We thank you for your word today. We thank you for transforming us and coming to dwell in us by the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you that our joy is full, even in the midst of trouble, because you are our strength. You are our joy. You are our peace. Father, I pray for those who need to be born again today, that they would receive the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as their salvation, His blood shed for their sin, that the blood of Jesus Christ wipes away all record, all testimony of sin, the penalty of sin forever. Doesn't mean you won't ever sin again. What does mean is that the payment for your sin, past, present, and future, has already been done. And then the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the Holy Spirit working in and through you to destroy the rest of your flesh so that you begin to live a holy life. Many of you have had a trouble trying to live a holy life just because that's what you thought you're supposed to do. But God says, I'm going to do it. I'm in you both to will and to do of my good pleasure. So I thank you for it, and I give you praise. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Amen. I love you all. If anybody wants to receive prayer this morning, the Holy Spirit, receive Jesus Christ. Come on forward. And the rest of you just hug one another's neck and love one another. Amen.